Chapter 11. Bax got a lecture on responsibility from Mo, Ms. Starr, and Nurse Riley. It was too boring for Andres to pay attention to. In the end, after all the boulders had been moved off the bridge again, the Sage Academy kids got, 5 minutes to look at the tangerines. Dr. Horace didn't even let them throw cantaloupes after seeing the UDM kids all covered with melon goop. Afterward, in the Great Hall, Mo gave the students the option to choose their next activities. "We'll be splitting into two groups," she explained. "But you get to pick what you want to do." Andres saw Nori turn to Elliot. "Together," she said. "Together," Elliot nodded. "One group will go to the lake where our bubble dragons live," Mo said. "If you choose this activity, expect to get wet. You'll be boating across Gray Drop Lake, observing dragons and learning about their habits and behaviors. Some of you might get to go water skiing. Two of our herd are being trained to work with the Coast Guard. They need all the practice they can get. Skimming across the water on the tail of a bubble dragon isn't for the faint of heart, but for those who are brave, there's nothing like it. And we have wetsuits." Excited murmurs rippled around the room. "The second group will help injured whelps who are struggling with their motor skills," said Mo. "The flying breeds are having trouble flying. If you choose this activity, you'll be going to the Atrium of Healing, a vast enclosure made entirely of glass." "Do you have to be a flyer to go to the atrium?" asked a sage student. "You do not. There are activities for flyers and non-flyers alike. If you want to go to Gray Drop Lake, Luis will meet you at the east door, where Nurse Riley and Ms. Starr are standing," Mo pointed. "If you choose the atrium, join Dr. Horace and me at the west door." All the UDM kids ran immediately to the east door to go to Gray Drop Lake. Phoebe, Lark, Tip, and Tomas went together to the west door. In fact, all of Sage Academy chose the west door. It was like Dr. Horace had told them to.
"Andres, come on," Nori beckoned him.
Andres didn't want to go to the lake with UDM. He wanted to go to the Atrium of Healing. He wanted to see the injured flying dragons. He wanted to fly with them. Tip jogged over.
"You coming?"
"We can help the flying dragons," Phoebe said, joining them. "And not to sound harsh, but I don't think it's a good idea to get in a boat wearing a backpack full of rocks. I mean, couldn't that be dangerous?"
"Andres," Ms. Starr said, "I need you over here with me now." She held out the leash.
"I'm going with the sage kids," Andres called back.
He rushed out the door before she could stop him. The Atrium of Healing was a large greenhouse with glass walls. It was filled with plants. The air inside was thick and tropical. Many flying dragons came from south of the equator. None of them breathed fire or hunted aggressively, so it was safe to be with them. Mo gave the students a 20-minute lesson on why certain orphaned whelps struggled with flying and ways that campers could help them. Many of the whelps had been injured. They hesitated to flap their hurt wings. They needed to build up strength and confidence. Right now, there were several different flying breeds living together, all young ones. The goal was to get them strong enough so they could be released back into the wild.
"Mostly, they need encouragement," said dragonologist Hendrix, who was in charge of the atrium. "Those of you who aren't flyers, come over to this petting area. You can stroke them and feed them peanuts. Mimic the flapping movements Mo described. They'll copy you, and it'll help build their wing strength. Have fun, and I mean that. We don't have any adult flying dragons right now. These whelps have no one to show them how fun it can be."
Andres shrugged out of his brick pack, his spirits soaring. The moment his pack dropped off him, he was up in the air. He floated to the ceiling right away, but then he pushed off and worked on flying purposefully, the way he did with his tutor in the school gymnasium.
The atrium of healing was much bigger than the gym, though. Way bigger. To fly down, Andres planted his feet on the ceiling and bent his knees. One powerful jump sent him shooting toward the ground. Hendrix had rigged the atrium with zip lines so that the dragonologists could easily access tree-nesting dragons. Andres caught one and swung around it to change his direction. He did it again and again. He could snag one with his foot if he got going too fast. He could propel himself from one zip line to another. He hardly even looked at the dragons. He flew for the pure exhilaration of it. Tip and Tomas cheered him on. Then, remembering what he was there for, Andres pushed off the ceiling and found a low tree branch to hold on to. He grabbed onto the branch with his arms and legs and held on tightly. Nearby, Hendrix and Mo were talking to the non-flying students. "The little green ones? See them?" Hendrix said. "They're called Arbor Dragons. Dragonhaven has 6 of them. They don't fly very high, but they seem to enjoy sitting on the zip lines."
"Like birds on telephone wires," one of the sage kids said.
Hendrix nodded. Just underneath him, Andres noticed a nest of leaves. Inside the leaves, a small arbor dragon was curled into a ball.
"That's Zog," called Mo. "You can pet him. He's friendly."
Andres leaned toward the nest.
"Hi, Zog."
Hendrix swooped to Andres's side. "Police officers found him on top of a lamppost in a crowded, bustling city. We don't know how he got there. The firefighters who rescued him told us he was trembling with fear, poor little guy. They sent him here for rehab."
"That's awful," Andres said.
"He can fly, physically. He's not injured."
Hendrix sighed. "Instead, he stays in this nest day after day. You can tell by his body language that he's still traumatized."
"But it can be fun to fly," Andres said.
He knew better than most how scary flying could be for someone who felt out of control.
But he still pulsed with excitement from soaring to the top of the atrium. The ability to fly was a gift. Andres gazed into Zog's worried green eyes, trying to communicate all of this.
"Can I show you?"
He held out his arm.
"I promise to keep you safe."
"We've tried everything to tempt him," Hendrix said. "Treats, mainly. He's eating okay, but he will not..."
Zog stepped onto Andres's forearm. First one hind leg, and then the other.
"Leave his nest," Hendrix said, his voice full of disbelief.
"Good boy," Andres said. "You're safe. I've got you. We're going to fly now, okay?"
Andres cradled the dragon gently against his chest and unhooked his legs from the branch. He bobbed to the ceiling of the atrium.
"These whelps have no one to show them how fun flying can be."
That's what Hendrix had said. Andres's joy at his newfound flying skill was so strong, he could barely contain it. He didn't want to contain it. But he didn't zoom around. He stayed with his back against the roof and tried to make Zog feel safe.
"You're doing it," Andres told the dragon. "You're up high and nothing bad is happening. See? Oh, look at your pretty green wings. Those wings are made for flying. Can't you feel it?"
Zog glanced down. His claws tightened against Andres's arm. Then, all at once, he spread his wings, pushed off, and swooped into the air. Zog was flying on his own. Andres whooped. Hendrix let out an enthusiastic yell, thrusting his fist into the air. Baby Zog flew around the atrium of healing, squawking with glee.